In addressing inequality, it seems a straightforward, indeed elegant, policy. Take stuff off people who have a lot of it and give it to people who don't have any of it. However, anybody, certainly any government, proposing such a measure would do well to heed the immortal wisdom of H.L. Mencken, who once observed that there is always a well-known solution to every human problem. Neat, plausible, and wrong. Nevertheless, the idea of land expropriation has returned to the public discourse in South Africa. A panel assembled by President Cyril Ramaphosa to look into the idea has returned a proposal recommending, in limited circumstances, the seizure of land without compensating the owners.
We should no longer be afraid of this process of having to change the land ownership architecture in our country. It is here. And it is here to stay. It is going to happen.
Land ownership has been a persistent issue in post-apartheid South Africa, and not without reason. A quarter of a century after the racist monstrosity of apartheid was formally dismantled, white South Africans, who comprise roughly 9% of the population, still own 72% of the farmland possessed by individuals. As an illustration of the lingering effects of systemic injustice, it's hard to beat.
The sixth parliament has rare opportunity to redress all these past wrongs, to allow the natives who have lost so much to reclaim their dignity back by getting our land back. No longer shall we be treated as slaves in our own land. Never.
Ramaphosa's panel has proposed seizing land which is held for speculative purposes, land which is occupied and worked by tenants, and land that has been abandoned. It has also suggested taking inner-city buildings owned by absentee landlords. For obvious and understandable reasons, these measures will go over well with a significant proportion of South African voters, especially those who have lately been tempted away from President Ramaphosa's African National Congress, now very much the party of South Africa's establishment, and towards the radical fire breathers of the opposition Economic Freedom Fighters Party, who nearly doubled their parliamentary presence in last May's election. The EFF, led by Julius Malema, who might be charitably described as uncompromising in his general approach, favours wholesale nationalisation of South Africa's land.
You say, I don't want colonialism, we want decolonisation, yet you are supporting colonial borders in Africa.
What is being proposed by President Ramaphosa's panel is significantly less than that, but it is nevertheless significant. As it stands, under Section 25 of South Africa's constitution, the government may expropriate land but is required to cough up just and equitable compensation. There has long been chat about amending this clause and or concocting some legal argument that, in certain circumstances, just and equitable compensation might amount to nothing.
There is also a growing body of opinion in our country that the Constitution, as it stands, does not impede expropriation of land without compensation.
That expropriation will be popular in some electorally important demographics is beyond doubt, and that is very usually the clinching argument in matters of politics, although some polling in South Africa suggests widespread unease with the idea of no compensation. A factor less often subject to rigorous scrutiny is whether or not a given policy will actually work. And where expropriation of land is concerned, there are some discouraging precedents.
And if you want to see the end road of what you want to do here today, have a look at...
Most infamously, in the early years of the 21st century, Zimbabwe's then President Robert Mugabe ordered the seizure of white-owned farms and their transfer to black ownership.
Go and have a look at what happened in Zimbabwe when,
order,
your, beloved,
honourable members,
when
order.
Your beloved Robert Mugabe went down the same road.
What he also did in so doing was effectively demolish Zimbabwe's agricultural infrastructure. Farm production plummeted by two-thirds in less than a decade, and Zimbabwe's economy collapsed alongside it to the point where the country had to abandon its hyperinflation-stricken currency. In 2009, Zimbabwe issued a $100 trillion banknote, which wouldn't buy a bus fare.
They're actually doing the opposite now in Zimbabwe because they realise the folly of their ways.
South Africa is not Zimbabwe, and Cyril Ramaphosa is not Robert Mugabe, but there are some similarities. Many years after the end of white minority rule, things remain extremely tough for many among South Africa's black majority. The unemployment rate in South Africa is a staggering, scandalous 27.6%, even higher among youth, who are increasingly drawn to the EFF. And South Africa is, as Zimbabwe was, an apparently eternal one-party democracy. Ramaphosa has big problems and the means, always tempting, of making big gestures in response.
If this government was serious about restitution and redistribution, we would speed up the hundreds of thousands of land claims that remain unprocessed in South Africa. That is what a serious party would do if it was cared about land reform and land restitution.
The trouble is that property rights matter. They are, along with free and fair elections, a free press, judicial independence, and the rule of law, one of the crucial differences between a functional society and a shambles. Property rights are also, in this specific instance, crucial to the foreign investment which South Africa urgently requires. Nobody is going to buy something if they're not sure they'll be allowed to keep it.
And in fact, we have said to those who are investing in our country that they should have no fear that their land and property is going to be expropriated.
While the proposals of the presidential panel are commendably constrained, they will prompt concerns about the slipperiness of this particular slope. There are other ways to redress economic imbalance and historical injustice, though President Ramaphosa will be wearily aware that they are often more complex and long-term than understandably impatient poor people would prefer. He could, of course, set a personal example. His own farm, the Ntaba Nyoni Estate in Mpumalanga Province, is reckoned at 5,100 hectares. Plenty to go round. For Monocle 24, I'm Andrew Muller.